We take the moment to welcome you again to another Breakthrough Sunday. Amen. And another great week. I sense that God has great plans for us this week. And he has ordained this Sunday to be a very blessed Sunday. I want to assure you that before the end of this service, you shall be praising the Lord. Amen. Amen. Before the end of this service, you shall be blessing his holy name, because great is the Lord and he is ready to do great and mighty things. Amen. I also take the moment to welcome our online viewers. Amen. From all over the world, those watching us from USA, those watching from Africa, from Europe, from Asia, from the whole of Kenya, welcome to our service in Jesus' name. Amen. Great is the Lord. Today we will share on a message entitled Victory Through Worship. Victory Through Worship. The Lord is looking for those who can worship him. How? In truth and in spirit. People who can worship him in truth and in spirit. And if God finds a worshiper seated in the benches, seated in the presence of God, let me announce to you, that worshiper will be blessed. That worshiper will have a breakthrough. God is looking for a worshiper. And our reading comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 7. And we shall read a number of verses from verse 4 and a few verses from verse 4. I will read and will let you know which verses we are going through. Verse 4 says, so the children of Israel, let's start with verse 3. Verse 3 says, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord. So God is looking for hearts. He's looking for hearts. People who give him their hearts. Prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So this is where worship is connected with victory, because if only you can give God the worship, if only you can give God the glory with all your heart, then he shall deliver you. Lift your hand and say amen. Glory to God. If you can give God the worship, he will deliver you. That is victory right there. Verse 4. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. I want you to understand that our God is a jealous God. You cannot have a menu of idols on the right, the left hand side, and Jehovah God on the other side. You say you shall worship the two together. He does not share a table with idols. So we have to put away anything else that we adore and admire more than our God. Hallelujah. And so Samuel's advice, Samuel's counsel was put away Baals, put away Ashtaroths, so that God does not see them anywhere near you. If possible, dig a grave and bury them, because if you kill Baals and Ashtaroths, they cannot resurrect. But if you kill our God and bury him, he will rise up, because it is impossible to kill the Lord. Amen. So put away every idol and worship the Lord only. And this is exactly what the children of Israel did. Let's go to verse number 5. So Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. I will pray to the Lord for you. So he called them for a congregational worship the Lord. Let's jump all the way to verse 9. And Samuel took a suckling lamb, offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered them. So when they separated themselves, then they gave the Lord offerings. Part of our worship is the offerings we give. Offerings can be financial, offering can be praise, offering can be thanksgiving, offering can be our prayers, can be our fasting. Amen. Even when you separate yourself and you separate a time just to pray, it's a form of worship, it's a form of sacrifice. And then the Bible says, verse 10, now as Samuel was offering up a burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them, and they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went off Mizpah, pursued the Philistines, drove them back as far as below Bethkar. And then verse 12 says, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. Amen. Thus far, meaning thus far, the Lord has helped us. Verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued. In other words, the Philistines were defeated. They were subdued. They were made the subjects of Israel. And they did not come anymore to the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. If you are a worshiper, the hand of God will be against your enemies all your days. Oh, amen. As long as you live, your enemies are in trouble if you are a worshiper. Glory to God. Somebody shout amen. I need some noise in the first service. This is the first service. And if we can break through in this service, all the other services will have a breakthrough. So can we open the gates of blessings this morning by worshiping the Lord? Hey, hallelujah! Tuwe na fujo takatifu asubuhi ya leo katika jina la Yesu. Glory to God. Verse 14. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Recovery is victory. Amen. If the devil had taken something from you and God restores it back to you, what is that? That is victory. Amen. They recovered territory. They recovered cities. They subdued the Philistines. If you would allow me to take you back to the background, if you read the first few chapters, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6 of the book of 1 Samuel, you will see how the Philistines sat on the necks of Israel, how they defeated Israel, how they were such a pain on their necks. They even took away the Ark of the Covenant from Israel. It is during these chapters that the two sons of a priest were killed, a priest called Eli. It's during this time that Eli, the priest in charge, lost hope and fell back and died. It is during that time that the Philistines brought a lot of fear upon the children of Israel. It is during also this time that many cities of Israel were lost to the Philistine people because they were too powerful for Israel. But let me announce to you in Jesus' name, or let me declare to you or make this statement to you so that you can catch up what God is saying this morning, that before you are defeated physically, the enemy begins by defeating you spiritually.
So if you can lose your war in the heavenly realms, if you lose your spiritual war in the spiritual realms, even though you are strong, you shall be very weak before your enemies. And number one, we understand the reason why Israel lost their battle to the Philistine is they lost the battle of worship. They lost the battle of worship. Because here, their houses are full of idols. They have Baals. They have gods they call Ashtoreth. And if you're fighting with your enemy on the same level, you're worshiping the same dead gods, and your enemy is stronger than you and you're worshiping the same dead gods, let me tell you, you are already defeated even before you fight. Because you have lost your battle in the spiritual realms. So if only, my brother, my sister, you can rise up in your spirit before you attack your enemies, you rise up in your spirit and correct your worship. Correct your relationship with God. Set up an altar for God in your spirit. Then if you win the battle in your spiritual realms, then your physical battles will be won in the same breath. Amen. And that's why the Bible says Samuel advised the children of Israel, counseled the children of Israel, warned the children of Israel that the battle you are trying to fight with the Philistines, the physical battle, you cannot win that battle until you correct your worship. And so he advised them, put away the Ashtoreth and put away the gods of Baal, and now consecrate your hearts for God only. Lift your hearts to God and worship him, and make him the only God. Make him proud by making him your absolute God, your only Father, the only God. He's not sharing you with any other idol. When he knows he owns you completely, then you shall subdue the children of the Philistine. Amen. And so the Bible says, when Israel knew the secret of winning their battles is worship, the Bible says, therefore, they put away the gods of Baal. They put away the Ashtoreth. And the Bible says they worship the Lord only. They made God the only God in their lives. And after that, Samuel was ready to lead them into prayer. And so he gathered them into Mizpah. And as Samuel was sacrificing to the Lord, as Samuel was praying, the Bible says, and God heard his prayer. Amen. Your prayer will not go through before you have dealt with your worship. And many of us, many times, go before God. I want you to hear this. Please note, hear this. Many of us, we go to God with requests. We go to God with our needs. We go to God to present our prayers more than we go to God to give him our worship. And we need to know that before a miracle can happen in your life, there must be a divine exchange. There must be what we give to God before we can receive from the Lord. And I'm coming to a level where I am not bringing the church to a place of receive. I am bringing the church to a place where give, then you can receive. Amen. Because we need to go to a level where we give God the glory. We give God the worship. And when we worship God, blessings will follow. Victory will follow. Miracles will follow. Your prayers will be answered. Breakthroughs will be your portion. Oh, glory to God. If only you can give God the worship. And someone is giving God a sacrifice. The smoke of the sacrifice is rising. He is blessing the Lord. He is worshiping the Lord. And then he presents his prayer and tells God, look upon these Philistines. They cannot win us when we are worshiping you. They cannot come against us when we are sacrificing to you. And the Bible says when the Philistines saw that they were burning and sacrificing to God and giving God the worship, they approached Israel for battle. But they did not know the battle has changed in the spiritual realms. They did not know that in the spiritual realms, they have been defeated already. Because as they approach Israel for a battle, God did not wait for a physical fight. The Bible says God thundered from heaven. God shouted at their enemies. I am declaring today, may God shout at your enemies this morning. May God shout at your sickness this morning. May God shout at your devourer in Jesus' name. May God shout at your need this morning. May God shout at your cries this morning. Oh, hallelujah. God gave a shout. That's the reason why we normally ask you to shout, because we belong to a shouting God. Sometimes your God will shout at your enemies. And do you know when God shouts? God shouts at your enemies during your time of worship. Because your worship is loud. You are shouting and God is shouting back at your enemies. The more you lift up the name of the Lord, the more Jehovah will shout and thunder at your enemy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am sensing the gates are opening right now. Your gates are opening right now in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, and so the Philistines were subdued after this worship. They were beaten without a fight. They ran away. Israel chased those who were chasing them before. Those they were showing their backs, turned to show them their backs as they ran away. And so the Bible says, and so the Philistines never came back to the territory of Israel. Today, this morning, through worship, we are going to evict, we are going to chase away every enemy occupying your space. Ah, glory to God. Every enemy occupying your territory must be removed this morning in Jesus' name. Do you know why we must remove our enemies? When enemies are surrounding you, they can choke your worship. They can choke you to a level you are not able to breathe out. You are not able to worship God. Today, your enemies must go at the shout of the church, at the worship of the church. And the Bible says, and Israel recovered all the lost territory. And all the days of Samuel, the hand of God was against them. So we can learn a number of things. Number one, write this down. Worship can usher any man or woman into the arena of victory. Worship can usher you, can bring you into the arena of victory. Israel was dominated by the Philistines before worship, but after worship, they moved from the arena of defeat to arena of victory. Number two, worship is a continuous ministry in heaven. And nothing pleases the Lord than real worship flowing from the earth to the heavens. We know that 24/7, 24/365, worship is what flows like a river before the throne of God. 24 elders, the four beings, there is a sacrifice of worship. God operates with worship in heaven. And so to have people here on earth like us, worshiping the Lord, giving our sacrifices, giving thanks to Him, giving our offerings, to have us from the earth worshiping the Lord, it breaks the realms of defeat and brings us victory. So worship is a continuous ministry. And it is a greater thing to have it flow from the earth. Number three, Worship is more than a song. Worship is more than a song. It involves everything a worshiper can give to God from a broken heart. Many times we just think worship is when we lift our hands and sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, worship the Lord," you know, songs of worship. Worship is more than a song. Worship involves separating our hearts for God. Amen? Worship involves even the offerings we give. Worship is a lifestyle, living our lives before God and for God, before God and for God, before God and for God. So when we talk about worship, it is more than a song. It's a change of lifestyle. Israel changed its lifestyle from worshiping idols to worshiping the true God. Number four, that worship reaches, that worship that reaches God is that kind of a worship that is from a separated soul, a soul reserved for God alone. That's why before any victory came to the people of God, they had to first separate themselves, consecrate themselves, cleanse themselves. At Mizpah, you would discover that Israel even lifted their hands to repent. They wept, they cried, "Oh God, we have sinned. We have kept these ugly idols around us. We have made you jealous." They repented. So repentance is part of worship. And I pray that every day when we wake up in the morning, we shall check our day before, and we shall ask God to sanctify our hearts, to separate our hearts. We cannot mix our hearts in our worship and expect miracles. If your life is going to go far, my sister, my brother, you must live your life such that when you check your inner, when you check yourself, you know and you know and you know that your heart has nothing but just a room for the Lord alone. Amen? God will never share the glory with anything else in our lives. So we need to repent. And I pray that as we return to church after the coronavirus, that we shall repent. Amen. We shall ask for forgiveness. We shall humble ourselves. Amen. We shall ask the Lord, like the psalmist asked the Lord, "Search me," in Psalms 139. "Search me," 139:14. The David said, "Search me, O Lord. Try me. See if there is any iniquity in my life." Because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity, kama kuna kadhambi nimejiachia moyoni mwangu, ninasema haka siwezi kutoa. If there is a wickedness, even small as it can be, that you reserve in your heart, you will not be able to become a worshiper. You will not be able to give God a breakthrough worship. Now, the other thing we learn is, number five, is that victory begins when we put away every idol and worship God only. And we are living in a time when we have so many idols. We are still not through, even in our generation. The only thing the devil has done is to exchange idols, because we no longer worship stones. We no longer worship trees, but we have images that still preoccupy our hearts more, so that we don't have time for God. Look at your life right now, my brother, my sister. How is your life right now? How much time do you have for the Word of God? How many minutes do you spend in a day to pray? Are there things, even in your private life or in your free time, that preoccupy you so much that you find yourself going to sleep without prayer, without singing a song to God, without dedicating your time to read the Word, to pray? The Lord was challenging me the other day that we can have a beautiful sanctuary like this, but if this sanctuary will be just for people to come and see a beautiful church, then this is no better than a museum. This is not a museum. This is a house of prayer. My God. And we need people to separate some time, even in the middle of the week. Close your business early and spare 30 minutes, 1 hour. Come to the house of God. Kneel before God and give God one full hour of prayer. If you can reduce some of the idols that are preoccupying our lives, then we can find God and find a breakthrough. Number two, we also learned that worship involves a consecrated heart before God. Sorry, number six. We can only attract the presence of God, as we see in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5 and 6, that consecration, they gathered, they poured water before God. And you know, the symbol of water, maji, water is a symbol of purification. We use water to clean. We use water to wash our dishes. We use water to wash our bodies. So these people got water, poured water before God. Amen. And they repented. That sanctification is a requirement. They also sanctified their hearts through fasting. They also fasted. They went before God with broken hearts. And the Bible says, a broken heart the Lord will not despise. Amen? God dwells together with a man and a woman of a broken heart. Isaiah 58. If your heart is broken, you are down to earth before God. God will see that worship. And there is no one who accesses the presence of God, amen, loses any battle. Number seven. I don't know which number I mean now. Which number is this? Number eight, eh? Prayer accompanied by sacrificial giving wins the heart of God. 1 Samuel 7, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, Samuel was praying, but at the same time, he was giving a sacrifice. He slaughtered a lamb, gave a sacrifice to God. Today, we don't slaughter lambs, but we still have sacrifices that should accompany our prayers. Sacrifices of thanks, giving. Sacrifices of praise, the fruit of our lips. Sacrifices of prayer and fasting. We still need to go before God with a sacrifice. And it is true, Samuel did not just go to God and say, God, give me victory. Give the Philistines in my hand. Before he asked for the Philistines, he gave God a sacrifice. He gave God a worship. He gave God something coming from the deep of his heart. And I don't know, my brethren, the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. Because the children of the world, if you go to political gatherings, before they ask the president for goodies, they don't begin by saying, Mr. President, build this road for us. Build a classroom for us. They begin by praising the king. They tell him, hey, you are one of the best presidents we have ever met. You are a generous man. We know you are a friend of our city. Our people love you, our president. Even when you came last time, we voted you yesterday, and we feel like you should be our president forever. At that time, the king is feeling like, let them ask for anything now. They have given me and some honor. They have praised me. They have given me room in their heart. Many are the times we go before God with a shopping list. We take God like a supermarket. You don't request anything in the supermarket. You grab and put in the basket. And if people are crowding where you want things, you even move them a little bit. And you pick. In the corridors of heaven, we must behave. Amen? As we go before God, we need to change our attitude. God gives praise. Amen. Now, once you are in the court, after you have come through thanksgiving and when they went before kings, how did they begin their stories? They told the kings, "Oh king, live forever." And we know that is not true. That is just making the king proud. Is there a king who can live forever? But they tell the king what? "Oh king, live forever." It just means they are thinking good about the king. They are wishing the king live for long. They are wishing the king prosper. Amen. So our worship before God can open up our doors of breakthrough. And then we also need, this is the other one, we also need to learn that victory should always be followed by more worship. Where we lose our battles, it is when victory comes, when your blessing comes, when your breakthrough comes, when your prayers are answered. That is a good place to give more worship. Why? Because in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, 1 Samuel 7, 12, after God thundered against the enemies of Israel, after God gave them the victory, the word of God says that Samuel took a stone, built an altar to God, and he called that stone Ebenezer, meaning, thus far, the Lord has helped us. What is Samuel doing? He is returning the glory to who? To God. He is recognizing that we could not have defeated these Philistines without you. This far, God is our helper. Hey, hallelujah. He is my Ebenezer. He is my rock of strength. He is my rock of help. And what does the Bible say in verse 13? When he praised God after the first victory, God gave him more victory. I am decreeing today in Jesus' name, we have victory right now, but more victory is coming your way as you keep worshiping the living God. And indeed, when you go to verse 13, the Bible says from that time, the hand of God was always against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. More victory followed. They recovered the lost cities. More victory followed. God established Samuel that in his time there was peace. All around there was peace. And it doesn't mean that the Philistines became weaker. It doesn't mean there were no giants in the Philistines. It is the same, very same Philistines that defeated them. It is the very same giants that remain in, you know, they did not stop giving birth to giants. The giants were still there. The Philistines still had strong weapons. But it's not about the weapons of your enemy. It's about our relationship with God. It's about our worship. Amen? If we can give God the worship, God will make you stronger than your enemies. Amen. And so we need to know that every victory you have, every breakthrough you have, every blessing that comes your way, it should always be followed by more worship. Heaven is like fire. It must be fed with the fuel of worship. We must keep on adding the firewood of worship. Heaven is like a lamp. We must keep on adding the oil of worship to keep the victory. And this kind of worship affects or determines the way our victory will be sustained. Amen. So the Bible says, as long as worship was in Israel, as long as prayer and fasting went up, the Philistines could not come again to the territory of Israel. My prayer for you, my brother, my sister, is that we shall keep up the doors of worship open. Glory to God. And we have very many examples, but I don't want to go into them. But you can write this down. Genesis 22 verse 15 to 17. When Abraham gave God the worship by giving a sacrifice, you know, by giving up his only son Isaac to God. In Genesis 22 verse 15 to 17. If you go to verse 17, the Bible says, God vowed and spoke to Abraham a second time saying, because you did not withhold your only son in worship, in blessing, I will bless you. And he finishes there by saying, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Now, the word possess the gates of their enemies is victory itself. Amen. It means your descendants. It's not only you, Abraham, who is a winner, even your generations. Can I declare to you, my brother, my sister, that your worship can affect your descendants. Your worship can determine the victory of your incoming descendants. And I love it when I talk about a God who honors worship to a level that even your child at home can be assured that even the child your child will bear will also be victorious. I'm declaring to you in Jesus' name, a generational blessing, a generational victory is about to follow the house of God because of worshipers in the house of God. And then the other example is Genesis 35. Of course, we have read this one many times, but Genesis 35 verse 1 to 5, you can write this down. When Jacob gave worship with all his house before God, the Bible records that after this worship, all his enemies in the entire Canaan land were afraid of the man of God and his house. Your worship can cause an entire region to fear your God and to fear you. May we be fearful as we worship God in our generation, in Jesus' name. The other example you can write down is Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 9. In Matthew 29, from verse 9, and if you read all the way and read up to verse 14, you will discover that when Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly, it is worship that led that entry. And they were singing Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lord, Hosanna to the highest. But if you go to verse 14, after that Hosanna worship, the Bible says through that worship, cripples who came to the house, the blind men who came to the house, possessed people who came to the house, Jesus healed them and cast out devils under the worship. Amen. And they worshiped until the devil was annoyed, until they said, tell the children to keep quiet. And Jesus said, if these keep quiet, the stones will worship me. So where there is worship, miracles of victory will follow. And then the last scripture we can quote, and then we pray together, is Acts chapter 16, verse 25. The Bible says, Paul and Silas were in worship in the Philippi jail. And the Bible says, as they sang songs, as they worshiped the Lord in the night, there was an earthquake and jails opened, and they had victory over prison. They had victory because even the jailer got saved. Let me decree to you in Jesus' name, as we open ourselves to worship, as we give ourselves to seek the Lord with all our heart, with all our strength, and with everything we have, prisons must begin breaking in Jesus' name. Your captivity must break in Jesus' name. There is victory in worship. Amen. You are there and you're not born again. And even those watching via our social media platforms, you are not born again. I want to pray for your salvation wherever you are in the name of Jesus. Say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I put away every other idol. I put away every other God. And from today, I make you my Lord and my King and my God forever. I give you my heart.
Save me and write my name in the book of life. I am born again. I am going to heaven in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving your life to Jesus. And Father, in the name that is above every name, I commit every one of our hearers, every one of our viewers who has committed their lives to you, that you may save them, that you may deliver them, that you may make them victors in Jesus' name. Glory to God. At this time, we want to pray for our offerings. We want to pray for our offerings. Amen, amen, and our tithes. For those who are in here, after we pray for our tithes, you shall take your envelope kindly, put your tithe there. And also those who are giving by phone, we're also praying after this for all the tithers. Remember, our till number for those who are giving online is 541464 or 541464. You go to buy goods and give your offering right there. Go to buy goods, 541464. And then we are also asking those who are giving internationally, you can use the World Remit number on the screen, or you can use SendWave. There is a number on that screen. You can use it to send your donation, your offering. Please accompany that with a message and let us know that you have given for the house of God, for that project that you want to support, and God will command a blessing upon your life. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for all our offerings. We pray for those who are giving their tithes, their offering, their donations, even those giving online. Father, command a blessing upon them and prosper them in the name of Jesus. Every Philistine who has occupied their territory, every Philistine who has bound their businesses and who has bound their blessing, I want to break every yoke and every bondage in the name of Jesus. And I loose an open heaven over all the givers in the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Mm-hmm.